This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, Ron, now it's time for the replay. But listen, before we get into the replay, I want to thank the audience. I tell you, for the last couple of weeks now, we've been on 1210. A lot of good feedback.
We do it for them, man.
I want to thank our listeners, but I want to thank a couple of them that just recently came up to me. I want to give them a little shout-out for thanking them for listening to the show. So we have Grandpa Joe, who's been with us for the past 6 years.
Hello, Grandpa Joe.
So him and Reed have been listening to the show faithfully over the past 6 years. And also, Talicia at Citizens Bank in Warrington. She loved the last week's show, and I wanted to bring her on and give her a little shout-out. So I want to thank her for listening. And now we're going to jump into the replay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right. So what we're going to talk about today is with Andrew. I spoke to Andrew about a week ago, and Andrew is in the process of purchasing a property, not for flipping, but for renting. So we're going to find some of the best ideas that he can put into the house without overspending.
Yeah,
so
we're not about flipping, right? So Andrew's going to be a renter. He's going to be a landlord.
Good. That's good. So Andrew, thanks for coming on Your Valuable Home and doing this.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
So what made you buy this specific house to put up on the rental market?
Well, you know, I was looking for a property that needed a lot of renovation so that I can get in kind of with a lower upfront cost. And this property, you know, kind of afforded that to me. It's coming in at a nice price.
Where is it, Andrew? Is it city? Is it suburban?
It's suburban, and it's out there a little bit. It's up in Hilltown Township.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a kind of large lot, which probably isn't ideal, but it has two structures on it, which is kind of intriguing to me to have a multifamily.
So two structures, one being a detached garage and a house?
Yes, I guess it would have originally been a barn, but it's been converted over the years where it actually looks livable. It would still need more renovations, and it would need, you know, some zoning changes, but I think that's all.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Did you have a formula in mind when you went out looking for a property?
It was more of a value sense. So not exactly a formula, because I've looked at rentals over the years, and it seems like multifamilies kind of draw a premium, and sometimes you're getting a place that needs a lot of work, but it's currently rented. Where this place I purchased, it's not livable when I purchased it, so it's going to require all the work that I want to do. I want to have a rental that I'm not up there every weekend working on. I'd like to get something that's going to be in good shape for the foreseeable future.
Well, that's what I try to give a lot of advice with a lot of the renters today. I said, listen, if you want to be what we call a lower rent landlord, you don't need to put much into it. But when you get to more of the higher end ones, you're going to have, again, not guaranteed, but you're going to have less problems when you get the better product. So you have a nice house, you're going to get better renters. That's just, again, that's my theory. I'm not saying it's good for everybody. But when you do things like that, when you put a nice kitchen in, nice flooring, when you pull up in the house, it looks great. Having that curb appeal is going to attract more dollars, number one, you're probably going to get better renters because you want renters in that are going to be able to pay the bill.
Well, not only that, but that's just what I want to do. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to flip. I don't want to, you know, get a place that's beat up and rent it. I don't want to do that.
Well, flipping today, it's kind of pointless because the homes today are, it's a premium for the house. So
yeah,
you're not going to
exactly.
be able to turn around, buy it for $10,000 less and sink $10,000.
Exactly.
You think you're going to get $100,000
right.
more.
Right.
It just doesn't
yeah.
work that way. So, Andrew, I'm presuming that you got a very good price on this house.
I believe so. I believe I got it probably about $100,000 under what it would go for in just decent condition, in a fully renovated condition. There's probably the better part of maybe $125,000 or $130,000 in upside on it. Of course, I'm going to sink, you know, at least $50,000 into it, I'm sure. But there is that upside for it, but it should be a profitable rental.
Well, that's what I would look for, is making sure that, again, you're not that you're going to try to sink 50 into it. If that's your budget in mind, I would say looking at 75 might be a little bit more realistic
always,
when you're done.
Budget a cushion, yeah.
Yeah, there's always going to be that cushion. Absolutely. But by you putting that 75 in, you're not trying to make money right off the initial steam mm-hmm. of saying, hey, listen, I already profited. You don't want to go in the hole. You don't want to put yourself in a donut hole. But what you're looking for is that long-term rental. That's where your money's going to come in. It's not the appreciation. It's the money you're getting every month. That's what's going to be really big help for you.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, and I went back and forth with some, you know, stock portfolios and other investments. And it just seemed like this was probably the best use of where we could, you know, utilize our money safely. And, you know, historically, real estate's a pretty safe investment, and a rental will give that, you know, kind of income.
Yeah,
well, both Kevin and I are stock market averse. That's why I have rental properties. He has rental properties. And, you know what? If the economy goes bad, you can't sell it. You can always rent it, right?
Exactly.
And you got two ways to make money, or three. You get it on the appreciation too, depending upon where you buy. Let me ask you what the taxes are up there in Hilltown, because that's a major ROI factor.
The taxes on this property are $4,700 a year, and it's in a pretty good school district. It's Penn Ridge School District, which is, you know, rated pretty well in the area.
That it is.
Yeah, if you can pull some nice rent on that, that's not a bad tax bill at all. $2,700 a year. I mean, the further you get out towards Quakertown and things like that, places like that.
It's going to be less.
It drops. Yeah, it drops down. It starts dropping down.
But also the rent drops also.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
So you see, one thing about renting is that what I see as being a contractor is people do get stressed out. They think, hey, I'm going to put $50,000 into this property and it's going to look great. And then they didn't look into this. They didn't foresee how much it's going to cost or budget or have a game plan. And then they're into it $100,000. And that's where the stress comes in. And I let people know, listen, you've got to go into this that you're going to be over budget on what you think. There's always going to be a problem if you need a major fixer-upper. Now, it seems like you, when I was talking to you, had a little bit of knowledge on doing some construction work.
Yeah, I bought an old farmhouse, and I've almost completely renovated it. And I put an addition on. So, you know, I've been in construction for in the last maybe 16 years. So I'm pretty well versed and I can do a lot of the stuff myself. But I do feel like I'm pretty close on that. And the $50,000 was my, you know, kind of bargain basement. I'm sure it's going to be more. But
plus with your sweat equity that you're going to need to put in yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have that availability to put sweat equity and they want to be able to get in, do the investments, hire a lot of people to do it, which, again, it's a lot less stress, but it's the money you're going to put in.
It's more money, yeah. It's more money.
And it's more money. So that's why I let people know, listen, if you're going to do that, that's great. But don't look at an immediate appreciation on homes today. The market's hot.
Not going to happen.
Just look at that long-term investment, because if you think about it, 10 years down the line, you're receiving, say, $1,400, $1,500 in rent a month. You're still going to be able to sell that house for close to or maybe more in 10 years for that same amount of money on a flip. So you're receiving all that rental money per month for the first 10, 15 years that you do keep the property. So it's a great investment for future when you're ready to retire.
Exactly. And, you know, or even, you know, early retirement, you know, it's you can offset some of your lost income and hopefully I can go a little early and not work myself into a life.
Okay, so you're basically going to commute from where you live, Maple Glen, right now, to Hilltown to do this job?
Correct.
Okay.
It's really, if I go in rush hour, it's like a 25-minute ride.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I can make it home when I leave there at like 8 o'clock. It's only like 15 minutes up the road. It's really not that bad of a ride, even though it's in a different county.
Well, that's having a rental property a little bit closer, because I know Ron and I have some in Philadelphia. And, you know, when we talk about like going to fix things, it's a hike. Driving down, there's like, I don't want to buy down a, or be in an area where it takes me more than an hour to get to. Because if there's a problem, you as the owner need to address that problem. So either A, you hire somebody, or B, you got to go fix it yourself. And either way, it's going to cost you more money by doing that.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I'm replacing all the mechanicals, the electrical plumbing, and a lot of the HVAC units. Because I also feel like if you're in a rental and you're having problems, even if your landlord is great and repairs them all, it's still a headache.
It's going to nickel and dime you to death.
Yeah, but even as far as a tenant's concerned, I'd much rather not have problems, because then they're going to be comfortable and happy, and you know, more get a long-term tenant out of it instead of, you know, remarketing every year or so.
Now, Andrew, are you going to manage it, or you have a management company?
I will likely manage it myself, unless I start kind of getting bogged down by it. But the plan was to, I may hire a realtor to help me get, to help market it, but I was going to manage it myself.
Yeah, Kevin and I have two different points of view on that. I have managers in, I have a place in Philly and I have a place in Doylestown. I have a management company in both, because I don't want to go schlepping out in the middle of the night to, fix somebody's toilet or something like that.
Me, it was real simple. I fixed the places up very nicely, so I don't have these problems. I'm trying to minimize that. But, Andrew, I'd like to get you back on when you get the property finished.
Yeah,
and,
interesting.
So we can see how's it working out, and for any of our listeners that are thinking about doing this, and make it a little bit easier for them by listening to the show.
Yep.
So, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks again for...
Take care, Andrew.
Listen to us here, Your Valuable Home, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets have served the tri-state area for 65 years. Nationally recognized for their excellence in installation and customer service, backing up their installations with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams be your one-stop shop for home improvement projects. Right now, get no deposit, no interest financing for 3 years until the end of November. Find out more at TomAdamsWC.com. That's TomAdamsWC.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
Now back to Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you have a question about a home project for our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
All right, thank our listeners for coming back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Ron, now it is time for the horror story. We've got a special guest sitting right next to me here
in
the audience.
We do. It's like a three-way in here today. It's Joe Krause from Jacob Media.
Right? Nice to be here, and I'm in an unusual spot. I
never
saw
you with those earmuffs on before.
No,
like you're cold.
No, I'm not cold at all.
You got your jacket on. You're it's ready to rock and roll. Yeah.
I like the way you manage the studio. You keep it nice and cool. Well done.
Yeah. Well, there's reasons why we do that.
All right.
Yeah, I see. It's like you're in a different spot, sitting over there, not in the big seat here. But we want to get you on the air to talk about the problem you're having with a contractor.
I'll give you just a quick overview, just so I don't eat too much time up on the basic foundation of the story. 125-year-old, 10-bedroom Victorian house nestled comfortably in Cape May. We decided to put luxury vinyl plank into the house.
Great idea.
All three floors.
That's because you decided to rent it or what?
Yeah, we're going to rent for the upcoming season of 2020. So we wanted something that was going to be able to withstand that turnover. It's a 10 bedroom, so we expect to have multiple families in there at one time every on every changeover. Mm-hmm. So three floors of luxury vinyl plank, and I reached out to the contractor from South Jersey who did our carpet installation multiple times at a townhouse that we own in Cape May. So I reached out to him, decided to go with him based on the fact that he did a good job for us on the carpet installation. This was a big job. You know, three floors, ten bedroom house, luxury vinyl plank.
And you got to know what you're doing. You got to know what you're doing.
So he takes the job. My family's questioning me. Do we want to go with this guy? Are we sure he knows what he's doing? And I'm just going off of the job that he did before. Granted, it was carpet, but he was on time. He got the job done. He turned and burned when he needed to, and he delivered. So I'm like, let's give the guy the job. So we give him the job. 12 days, 13 days into the process, I already know he's in over his head on this job. So I go down. Now, this is Memorial Day.
Of this past year.
Of this past year, right before Memorial Day. So I go down to spot the job, and two of his workers that he hired to come in and do the floor are both inebriated when I get there.
That's never a good sign.
Yeah, I don't think that's a start.
He's not there. He's got two workers at the property working on the house, drunk, and he's not there.
Yeah, that could be a liability suit against you.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's still at your property.
Guaranteed, Kev. No workers' comp, too, right?
No.
So they're drinking, no workers' comp, they get hurt, you own them.
Yeah. And I didn't. It's not that I saw a beer bottle or a bottle of vodka or any of that. I smelled the alcohol as soon as I walked in to the property. So
the flooring laid in like a herringbone style?
The floor wasn't even down yet. It was horrible to see the condition of the house, the way everything was completely turned upside down.
It's a floor.
It's a floor. It's fully furnished. So all of the furnishings were supposed to be moved room by room.
But they stacked them all up in the corner someplace.
Oh my God, huh? Ron, you cannot believe how bad this was. So
let me ask you this. Did you give this guy any front money?
I did. I gave him 50% up front.
50%.
50% of the job up front. Spent $28,000 on just the plank, on just the luxury vinyl.
So you paid
plank.
For the plank ahead of time?
Yeah, I paid for the plank up front, got it all delivered, shipped there, dropped off.
And then you gave another 50% before he even started.
I gave him 50% of the job.
Before he started.
And you paid
for the plank.
And I paid for the plank.
So you're in for like, what, 75% of the job?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm in to get the job done. Now, I wanted to pay for the plank. I wanted to control the process to make sure that it was there. It was going to be delivered. The deadline was to get this thing done by the end of June. So going in the 4th of July weekend,
you could rent it.
The place was ready to was ready to go.
Probably about a 3 to 4 day job with a nice size company.
You know, when I look back and I look at the estimate from where we bought the plank from the contractors, they approximated a 5 day job to complete the job.
Yeah, with furniture I can see that.
Yeah, which makes sense. Only I decided not to go with them. I decided to give it to the guy who did well on the townhouse, and I don't want to say reward him with the job because it was a hard job, but it was a good paying job and he won
absolutely
the job. So I wanted to give him the work.
Well, one thing I always ask people is that the economy has been hot in this industry. So what people are doing is they're taking so much work on and just hiring the subs out. The S&S, I call it, salesman and subs. You hired him being based on that he's going to be doing the work. And if he's not doing the work, he's going to bring a sub crew in. Apparently that didn't really work with you with the guy coming out and they were both intoxicated.
Well, here's the double shot of the issue. So the sub who comes in, so I throw this guy out. I ask him to leave the property.
You mean the drunk guys?
The drunk guys I removed as soon as I got down here. The contractor, I blew out. I told him I was done. I didn't want him in the house.
But you still have an issue of 50% you gave him.
Yeah, that was gone. I was willing to eat that. I wanted him out of the property. So the sub that was also working with him on the job approaches me about coming in to finish the job, finish the floor. This isn't one of the two guys. This is his kind of like, I wouldn't call him a GC, but he was supposed to be the guy that was overseeing
quality control.
Quality control comes in. He shows me all this work he does, all this, gets me all these references, everything else. So now we're sitting there with plank. Our house is in disarray, and we got to get this thing finished. So I give the remaining part of the job to this other contractor.
And what's the time frame now? How much time is going by?
Well, we're now into towards, I want to say, the third week of June, getting close to the end of June.
So you're,
but still a promise that he can get in there and he can get this done by 4th of July weekend. We have 22 people coming down from the family. Of course, he never did. Here we are in the month of November, and the place is still not finished. Now, shame on me. I wrote a check to this guy to get him in there and finish the job. And the job, as I sit here today, is still not done.
It's unbelievable.
I'm thinking, hey, you know, I can do it. I can guarantee Kevin it. Just send me some more money.
We'll come down this weekend.
I'll get it done by 2021.
The only thing I would say to people is, listen, I hope the lesson here, I hope the shame of my mistake will encourage people to make sure that they learn from this segment. That's why I wanted to
come on. That's
why
we do these horror stories.
It's such a valuable segment for the listening audience. Yeah.
Well, what you look at, so now I'm going to tell you things that our listeners can understand how this works. So I'm going to give you advice on this, so it doesn't happen to anybody else. Number one, 50% is against the law. You can only take one third down.
Too much money.
Even at that point, it's still too much money because they're only supplying labor. So I personally would not give anybody money if it's just a labor job and you're going to be supplying the material right up front. Say, listen, here's what we'll do. You get 25% of the job done. I'll give you 10%. We'll start throwing you money. I don't mind giving you multiple checks.
Dole it out.
I want you to work for that. So the scope of the work, whatever that scope of the work is, that contractor needs to work for that. If he's 50% done, maybe give him 30%. It's labor only. If a contractor can't come in and afford labor credit, which means pay the guys up to a week, and then get paid, you really shouldn't be dealing with a lot of people like that.
Yeah, good tip. Yeah,
money is...
never again.
It's peculiar how these people get the money and they say, hey, see you later, and they're done. Number two, in the contract, it should have a start date and an end date with, again, delays that could happen, maybe moving furniture for a couple of days.
And it should all be documented on an estimate.
Everything should be documented, and that's, again, that's trying to minimize.
So where do I find myself right now? In front of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, in front of the New Jersey Business Bureau, I'm waiting for my court date in small claims.
It's a mess.
Don't expect him to show up for.
It's a mess.
Right, and then getting the money out is going to be a little bit
more
difficult.
Keep doing the segment, though. Good stuff.
Yeah, so good stuff.
We'll keep educating our listeners and thanking everybody again for listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Stick with us, people. We're talking hempcrete when we come back in our college segment. What is it? It's something that can revolutionize residential and commercial construction.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets have served the tri-state area for 65 years. Nationally recognized for their excellence in installation and customer service, backing up their installations with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams be your one-stop shop for home improvement projects. Right now, get no deposit, no interest financing for 3 years until the end of November. Find out more at TomAdamsWC.com. That's TomAdamsWC.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
I want to thank our audience again for being back with us here on Your Valuable Home. And you're listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, it is time for the college now.
We got a real listener treat. We have Ty Olson. He's the Director of Operations with Chicago-based U.S. Heritage Group. If you've got like an old house, right, that needs repair and needs to be brought up to date, the outside of it, this is a fascinating company. They supply products like lime wash. Do you know about lime wash?
No.
You don't know? Okay, well, you're learning something too. For the restoration of old masonry buildings, monuments, etc. And at the other end of the spectrum, U.S. Heritage is very much into building products like hempcrete, which is it's just a wonderful product that could revolutionize commercial and residential construction here.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into.
Okay. Ty's a returning guest to Your Valuable Home. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Terrific.
Yeah, looking forward to this conversation. How in the past year has it come along? Because I've been telling
past
a lot
2 years, actually.
It's been 2 years. Yeah. Ty, you were on the show 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years ago?
It's
or was pretty, it last
time's flying.
It's more than a year. I know.
Hey, you're having a good time. Yeah. Time flies.
Even with my old memory, I know. It's okay.
All right.
Hempcrete may have people here scratching their heads like, what is it? Because I think the first time it was ever introduced in Philadelphia, we did it on the show. And that goes back to when he was on the first time. But hasn't hemp mixed with lime been used in construction in Europe and other parts of the world, Middle East, whatever, for thousands of years?
It really has. It's a little bit of a misleading name, hempcrete. It's not really a concrete material or meant to replace concrete, but what it is a mixture of hemp or some other kind of biofiber and a lime-based binder. Its core is just a very basic construction system. The sort of modern version of the system has been around in Europe since the 70s and 80s, starting in France, where there was sort of a self-realization of a farmer grows a field of hemp, they want to build their own house, so they go over to their lime quarry, get some lime, mix it with their hemp, and build an old house, a storage shed, something like that. But the modern version of hempcrete has only been around for a little over 20 years. It was really brought into the mainstream in England back in the early 2000s, and then into the U.S. in the late 2000s. The first hempcrete house in the U.S. actually went up in 2009.
How about that? What about Scandinavia? They're pretty much, you know, far forward in terms of a lot of things, including construction. Has it been at work there, at play there?
It has been used in limited application in Scandinavia, but the main markets that were really focused on building it a lot were the U.K. and France.
All right, now now we're going to rock everybody's world. What is the true value of hempcrete as a construction material? I think this is fascinating.
Well, I mean, it's a great material. It has a lot of benefits beyond just the idea of using hemp. It's a very sustainable building material, both from the hemp and from the lime. It sequesters and locks up a lot of carbon and greenhouse gases, so it's a very environmentally sustainable product to work with. It also creates a very high efficiency and healthy indoor environmental living environment. You'd need very little in terms of heating and cooling systems in order to maintain a comfortable environment. And it has no chemical off-gassing, VOCs, anything like that. So it creates a very natural building environment that is very conducive towards people who have chemical sensitivities, who want to bring down their power bills, who just want to live in one of the most efficient and effective types of structures they can.
So in other words, in Florida, in July, you wouldn't need to use your air conditioner if you had this in your walls?
Most likely not. Some basic fans would probably be enough. We have built a house down in Florida right outside of Tampa Bay area, and the owner of the house does have HVAC equipment but never runs it. He basically just had to put it in there just in case, but he leaves his windows open in the summer just to get a little circulation, and in the winter, warming up his tea kettle on the stove is enough to warm his house when it's in the cooler temperatures outside.
Well, what about the flip side of that now? How would it work? Where you live in Chicago?
You're going to be a little on the other side. So you will need some heating system of some sort. Usually a radiant heating system is going to work a little better than a forced air system. Hempcrete creates a very static and stable indoor environment where outside fluctuations in temperature are very difficult to reach the interior of the building. Usually it takes about 3 or 4 days of a continuous temperature change before it would be able to affect the interior temperature. So, for example, in Chicago this time of year, we're up in the 50s and 60s during the day, but down into the 20s or 30s at night. And as long as you can maintain that 50, 60 degrees during the day, you're not going to have any temperature dips at night, even without any added heating into your home.
So when we first had our conversation, the first thing I'm thinking of, I mean, the hempcrete, I didn't know what it was, really, when I thought about it. Because, again, it's not in the building industry. I thought you build it or smoke it or you're thinking of something in that realm. But it's an insulating product is what you're saying.
It is. It's an insulating product, but it's not meant to be a direct drop-in substitution for your standard pink fiberglass insulation or foam board. It's really making up the entire thermal mass of the wall itself. So it's acting as a combination of your insulation, your sheathing, your vapor and air barrier, but while maintaining a good permeability so you have passive humidity transmission through the wall. So you can look at it as sort of an entire wall system as opposed to a single product that you would have in a traditional wall. And it does sort of reflect the price in that it's never going to be able to compete on a square foot cost with pink fiberglass insulation. But when you take into account all of the pieces of a home that it replaces and the performance benefits and the health benefits you get, then you get into a pretty attractive
When you put the puzzle together, I'm thinking the
exactly.
whole Now, you said VOCs. That's big. I tell you, mm-hmm. we do a lot of shows with Caroline Blazowski from My Healthy Home, and that's one of the things she really pushes against VOCs. Is the VOCs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing when you talked about, everybody talks about spray foam insulation. Yeah, it's a great product. It seals. It's nice and tight. But the volatile gases it puts off as it heats up mm-hmm. is immense. And mm-hmm. that's what she's letting us know, and we'll mm-hmm. have her on the air to talk about a little mm-hmm. bit more. But this product here is a breathable product.
Yeah, exactly. The structure of the hemp particles that make up the aggregate for the material have a micropore structure in them that allows the transmission of water vapor in a gas form through the walls, but prevents liquid water from passing through the walls. So you're able to maintain a small amount of humidity within the wall system itself, but not enough for you to have any sort of dew point or condensation within the wall. And it allows the walls to essentially release moisture and gain moisture as needed based on what your internal living conditions are and what the external weather is like.
So essentially it's waterproof, but it's insect proof too, isn't it?
It is. So mm-hmm. the lime that is used to hold all the hemp together carbonates the outside structure of the herd, of the hemp herd, and makes it appear as if it was stone to insects. So insects, mold, rodents, they won't have any motivation to eat it. That's not to say you can't have an insect that's going to chew on some stone, but it doesn't really see it as a food source. It sees it just as a mineral.
Okay. Are marijuana and industrial hemp, are those plants the same thing?
Not at all.
Okay.
They come from the same family of plants, which are cannabis, but marijuana is a completely different plant in terms of its chemistry than hemp. Hemp really comes in two flavors in what you would grow it for nowadays, which are industrial hemp, which is for fiber, stalks, industrial products, and then for CBD, which is the medicinal side of things. We deal exclusively in the industrial fibers and herd products. But hemp is a plant that you can grow a couple different strains of it to get a couple different materials out of it. It can be used, for our case, in construction materials. It can be used for plastics, for clothing and textiles, ropes. It has an enormous number of uses, but it is not the same plant as marijuana.
Not the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, when I talk to a lot of people about this hemp, and I keep mentioning about it. Now, so let's go to a job site. If I'm going to be redoing a house, mm-hmm. and we're going to be taking out a lot of the walls, a lot of the drywall, so we can expose a lot of the fiberglass insulation that's in there. Would that be something beneficial for me to look into the hemp to insulate, re-insulate the walls with the hemp product?
Hempcrete is a little tricky to use on renovations because it does require special considerations with your framing system. Because of the permeability, you typically will not use a standard sheathing board, an OSB or plywood for the racking strength of your wall. Instead, you're going to use diagonal cross bracing. So you can retrofit a framing system by pulling off the sheathing and putting your diagonal cross bracing in, but it more comes down to if it's really practical to do that in your specific project. If you wanted to use hempcrete on an existing home, it would be easier to do it as an addition or as some side structure. And primarily nowadays, hempcrete is used for new construction where you can design the specific framing and the HVAC systems to really meet the performance and the requirements of hempcrete.
Well, how's that product applied in between the walls if there's nothing to secure it in? Is it like a stack stone where you have to put it together or a slurry mix that's poured in?
It's hempcrete is not a structural material in the form that it is most commonly used in. So you're going to use a traditional framing system of 2x4s or 2x6s. And then you're going to install temporary shuttering around those studs and then fill in the hempcrete to basically cast it entirely around your framing. And it lets you create a monolithic wall structure where it's a continuous stream of hempcrete for your entire wall without any breaks except for your window and door openings.
And you do or you don't need fiberglass insulation with that?
You don't. The hempcrete is going to act as the entire insulation for the house.
Okay. Super.
Yeah, you seem to get a little bit more bang for the buck on this. I know it's going to cost more money, as you said, but you're looking at long-term. So somebody's going to be looking at a long-term project, 20, 30, 40 years, or they're moving into a house. This is a product that's going to pay itself off in the long run.
Yeah, and especially in the much longer run, the types of buildings that you're making out of hempcrete are designed to last for 40, 50, 100 years. they're not really designed to require a lot of maintenance because the permeability and the insulation of them makes it so you don't really have any water issues in terms of moisture penetrating into your insulation or into your stud work, having any rotting or any molding. It's specifically designed to resist any negative effects that you get from moisture issues.
Stick with us, Ty. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets have served the tri-state area for 65 years. Nationally recognized for their excellence in installation and customer service, backing up their installations with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams be your one-stop shop for home improvement projects. Right now, get no deposit, no interest financing for 3 years until the end of November. Find out more at TomAdamsWC.com. That's TomAdamsWC.com.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And we are with Ty Olson from Chicago-based U.S. Heritage Group. We're talking about hempcrete. Ty, welcome back. Here we are, back in the show.
Thanks.
Now, let me see. How is hempcrete made, actually? A lot of it happens on the job site, doesn't it?
Yeah, so hempcrete comes in a couple of different formats. We specifically work with two versions of it, but overall there are four that are generally accepted. There's hempcrete block, hempcrete cast and formwork, hempcrete spray applied, and then hempcrete and precast panels. We work with the precast panels and with the cast and formwork. Each version has pros and cons, differences in the performance and the installation and the cost. But those are the two methods that we've really focused on.
And none of this is structure, correct?
It is not. The precast panels are technically structure because you already have the framing embedded within the material. But other than that, you're typically not going to use hempcrete as a structural material. The structure or the hempcrete blocks can be made structural, but one of the side effects is that they lose their insulation value if they become structural.
All right. So it can be incorporated to, you know, thinking going down the road here when it happens, when it, and I think this is going to explode, it can be used in residential and commercial construction, right?
Yeah, so one of the hang-ups for a wider acceptance of hempcrete has been the permitting and the testing issues, mm-hmm. which is that there aren't really any standards that exist yet for how to code or how to test and certify the performance of hempcrete and other hemp-based building materials. One of the biggest things that's happened in the past year or two is that the International Testing Agency, ASTM, has started the process of creating standards for all hemp and cannabis-related materials, not just for construction, but also for textiles, for plastics. And so they are working to get some standards established that will allow us to properly test and certify these materials for a wider construction market, especially with commercial projects.
Okay.
Yeah, now, with a lot of this hemp, I'm thinking in, just in this area alone, somebody wants to get a little bit more into this product, and they're thinking about, hey, you know what, I am starting to build a house. I mean, one of the things I always look at is installations from a contractor. I mean, is there a way to find a qualified contractor to install
Well, it is such a new and such a different building material that the number of contractors who have worked with it is pretty limited. That being said, it's a product that's pretty easy to work with. If you really wanted to build with hempcrete and you're in an area that doesn't have any other hempcrete structures and contractors who've worked on them, it's pretty easy to find a contractor who wants to try something new and wants to try something different. And then at that point, you just need to engage with either a manufacturer or a consultant who can train your contractor and get them up to speed in it. And for the most part, hempcrete projects are very easy to work with for anyone who's got some good experience in building.
Yeah, is it more for like a masonry contractor? Because I'm more of a carpenter, and I'm thinking in my mind if I got to mix cement.
Honestly, carpenters are one of the better folks to work with because the framing and the shuttering is what usually turns into the bottleneck of a hempcrete installation. Anybody can install hempcrete. It's very basic and straightforward. It takes maybe a day of training in order to get brought up to speed. But having the skill to really do all of your framing and your shuttering is what's going to be able to make your projects more efficient.
Let's talk about this. On a typical like 2,500 square foot house, that's the same house. I use that same example.
Yeah, everything's 2,500 with Ron. Everybody got 2,500 square feet.
Would it cost much more to use hempcrete versus fiberglass as an insulator?
If you're looking at the cost of fiberglass versus the cost of hempcrete, it's going to be a very different price. But you have to consider the other materials that you're limiting from your project, like your drywall board, your structural sheathing. So in the cost modeling we've done, you're looking at an increase in total project cost of usually between 4 and 8% to use hempcrete, depending on certain details like your local labor rate, the design of your house. Single-story houses are going to be a lot cheaper to build with hempcrete than multi-story houses just because of the labor of lifting a wet hempcrete material up to where you're going to be casting it. So there are different considerations that will affect the price, but overall, an average of 4 to 8%.
4 to 8%, which you're going to make up in energy savings probably over time anyway, right?
Yeah, energy savings and also just maintenance savings. You're going to have to do a lot less work to deal with anything that goes wrong because not as many things are going to go wrong.
That's
all right, so now
very encouraging.
Me talking about as a contractor, now let me go to the contractors thinking in their mind. They're filling the wall cavity up. It's a complete sealed unit. Now we've got to look at wiring, plumbing. Then it still needs to get through the wall. Is that...
So if you're doing a cast-in-place system, what you'll typically do is run your conduit and plumbing in the wall cavity before you cast the hempcrete. And then you cast your hempcrete around all of your tubing and run your lines and run your plumbing through the outs or the exits after you're done casting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking in my mind, if you have something, what if something goes wrong? I'm usually plumbing the supply lines, or you generally don't want to put them on the outer wall anyway. But if you have wiring or anything that's got to go up through there, conduit, I guess, would be a not a bad way to go, or have the contractor think in their mind to put more of an internal area of running the conduit up
through. That is another method. Mounting all of your services on the interior face of the hempcrete and then putting more of a traditional wall finish like a drywall or a green wall board, or even stretching some lath over it and plastering it with a little gap in there to run all of your plumbing and electrical would work.
Again, it's all minimal cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
It's a very, very versatile building material. You just have to plan your carpentry and your framing around it.
Let me ask you this. Last time you were on, there were a number of roadblocks, holding up the advance of hempcrete. Growing hemp had been against the federal law, but with the passage of, I think it's the Farm Bill in 2018, hemp farming is now allowed in all but 4 states.
Yes.
And I think there were two, our old friends, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, were drivers in that, weren't they?
Well, Kentucky, where they are the senators, is one of the oldest and most historic hemp states in the entire country.
How about that,
They've been pushing for legalized hemp for many, many years, and we're finally able to get it through on this bill. It's not just them. A lot of folks have worked on this, but a lot of these states are looking for ways to help their farmers and their agricultural communities by finding new products for them to grow, with the costs and the availability of other products like corn and tobacco starting to really lose value. So many, many states are really pushing to get as much farming up as they can and really get systems in place to turn hemp into a steady supply chain for their farmers and their industries.
So this would be good for the farmers also then.
Oh, yeah.
If it takes off, then they're going to be be able to produce this. So farmers that are in this, it's going to be great.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, back in 2018, 21 states were growing industrial hemp. Last year, another 13 states started growing. So you're up to 34 states that are actively growing hemp right now. Another 10 states have legalized it but haven't started growing it yet. With the Farm Bill, it essentially legalized hemp federally and made it a state's rights issue. And at this point, there are only 4 states in the country that have not adopted legalization for hemp.
Got 2 quick questions. We're running down the clock here. How would a listener find a qualified contractor, and how does somebody get in touch with you, Ty?
So really, look for a contractor who has some experience in sustainable building technologies or alternative building methods. They're going to be versatile enough that they can adapt to different types of building systems. And then
how do we get in touch with you?
And then you can contact us at info@usheritage.com.
Ty, yeah, Real Ty, Education and Hempcrete. I think this is going to take off like a rocket.
I do as well.
Okay. Ty. And thanks again to our listeners. We hope this was an educational show for you. And that's why
we
do it for you.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.